Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
No. Enemies close, Roger. Friends, 10 toes down, I'll be free into the end. Crib outside the city.
Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
It's opinions. I respect your opinions. Maybe in your opinion, Messi is better than me. But in my mind, I'm better than him.
I do it once, I do it again.
Everything is on me, gon' back it up.
Matter what?
Told you I'ma do me, why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck. Country heart, I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Lot of scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep it real, I do this once a month, I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. Only buy a car, hard car, cards, and get tatted up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up.
No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low.
Then we lay low.
Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up,
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation, the home of Rodri Giggs on football. We are here to talk all things football, from United to Champions League to predictions and more. It's going to be a good time. It's always a good time as we chat. And we always end up going on a few tangents as well. As always, please check out all the sponsors and stuff. ExpressVPN, Sports Social, people like that. That helps us to help you. And if you'd like to become a member of Ace Podcast Nation, you can sign up at patreon.com/acepodcastnation, which allows you to get a host of rewards and content. But most importantly, you get free tickets, early access to tickets for the Cardiff City Legends events, which we are currently doing. The next one, 10th of May, with cult hero Willie Boland. So make sure you check that out. A few tickets available. Not a lot, but a few. And as we wait for some of the stragglers, the latecomers, we will we'll do a little Super Six and Fantasy League update. Obviously, we're raising money for charity, as always. We do the Super Six Prediction League, but we also do added fantasy football to it this year as well. So the charity league updates are as follows. The Super Six at Cardiff, Swansea and Bristol fixtures last round, and Will's dad came out on top with 19 points. A special mention to the man I was just talking about, Willie Boland, who came fourth with 16 points. Remember to get your tickets in May, for May the 10th. Don't forget. Ollie Rushworth had the highest Fantasy League score of the week with 88 points. But how is mine and Rodri's battle going? The Fantasy League is what it is. Although, this week in the Fantasy Premier League, Rodri scored 71 points. I scored 74. The moral victory goes to Willis. And that's all we're about, is morals, mate. That's what's important. It doesn't matter about winning the league and this and that. What matters is morals. That's what matters. And my moral victory wipes out all of the other victories for every other week of the fantasy football this week, this year. The gap now is 133 points. I won a week.
And let's that might add, you started in front of me. So, yeah, go on. Carry
as
on.
We discovered, I didn't. The Super Six, however, is much closer. Rodri scoring 10 points midweek. I scored 8. There's an 18-point gap, which is basically 1 week when I could be asked to do it properly. So maybe this week is the week. But a special shout-out to Donna Perry, who jointly won the last person standing competition with Steve Beckley. And, of course, Donna and her daughters have been sending in vlogs for the Cardiff City channel, which has been really cool. They put out their second episode today. So shout out to Katie and Emily as well.
I'm off next week, so I can have a look at the week to week, so I can see how many, I can put the stats up next week, how many times I've beat you in the weeks. Mate. Two, six. But I'll do that in the week off next week. But love that.
I know you want to do that for the fantasy league, but you're not interested in doing that for the prediction league.
It's a stat kind of world now, so these stats are important. Okay.
I got a stat for you then. You like stats so much. In the Super Six Prediction League for the last two seasons, I have finished so far ahead of you that you weren't even on the same page twice in a row.
The first season, you had like 5 weeks on me. I didn't join until 5 weeks.
Hang on a minute. Let me just get back on music.
I wasn't really taking it serious. I didn't realize how serious you were taking it. I was just like missing week here, missing a week there.
Turn the music off. I didn't have a violin, mate. Sorry.
The first year, I come 5 weeks in. The second year, this is just like, just have a bit of joke, a bit of banter there.
No one likes excuses.
Taking it serious. All I got is the third year. There we go.
18 points, mate. I could do that in 1 week. Easy.
I'm on a roll at the minute. Yeah. I was one goal away from my head, City 2-1, spewing that Foden goal, the third one.
Oh, I've had a couple of them over the last few weeks, like last-minute goals, which have cost me 5 pointers.
I had Leeds 4-1. I had Leicester 3-0, and it was 2-0. So, I'm just a couple away from big scores, so... Yeah, it should probably double that lead in the next couple of weeks.
Make sure you got your list of excuses ready anyway. Just before we kind of delve into the Champions League and United and whatever, like all the usual stuff, I wanted to make a little mention of Jack Fitzwater. He plays for Exeter at the moment, joined last summer, has been talking about his battle with colitis and how difficult it is going to the toilet several times a day and playing football and stuff like that. And obviously Darren Fletcher went through something similar himself. And I just kind of wanted to make a mention of it. As someone who's got Crohn's disease himself, like it is very, very difficult to deal with. And people obviously don't see it because you don't know people's toilet habits at the end of the day. And it's not pleasant. It's painful. It's embarrassing. It is what it is. But shout out to him for talking about it because not many people do. Obviously, I mentioned Darren Fletcher and then there's been a few others, rugby players, swimmers and stuff. But shout out to him for talking about it because it's brutal. And I can't imagine trying to be a professional athlete at the same time as well. It must be even harder. But and also another shout out. Roy Hodgson is stable in hospital after he fell ill during training on Thursday morning. Obviously, their news conference was cancelled ahead of that because of that. 76 years old, mate. I have no idea what his health issue is, and obviously, it's none of our business in terms of what's going on with him. But he's not young, is he? And I think it's been a stressful season for him. So wish him the best, mate, at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's not helping with the recent reports that he's going to be replaced and after what he'd done last year and almost saving him to keep him up. Keep them steady, keep them on the table. no worries. And then now they've got to just, they should have done that at the end of the season. You're going, thanks, Roy, thanks for letting, you know, enjoy your life. But, you know, these type of people have done football all their life and, you know, it's what they do. So, but yeah, it's a stressful situation. Does he need it anymore? You know, it's, yeah. But wish him well.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it, mate? Do you know, I put a post up the other day, actually, about football fans that like being very, very fickle. Short memories, haven't they? Football fans have got the shortest memories of all. Like, when
Roy Hodgson came... You understand what Palace fans are going, though, with this. They want to see a plan, and Roy Hodgson, you know... Yeah, it's, you know, they can't really look for a future plan. First of all, the big elephant in the room, he's 76 years of age. So he's not going to go on forever. And they need a younger and we'll see how it goes. But I can see a change imminent there, to be honest.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we don't know how his health is and stuff like that. Hopefully, he's all right and he's you know, back fighting fit. But I mean, they've lost three of the last five. And it hasn't been good enough, really, form-wise. And I think, really, when you look at the table... If it wasn't for Everton's point deduction, Palace would be right in it. They got a little bit of a cushion. They got a 5-point cushion over Everton. But like without Everton's deduction,
Palace. Think, you know, with Palace, though, they've got match winners. They've got more than one.
A lot of good players.
So I think they're, you know, with relegation, I think they need to kill the Jets. I think they'll be safe because, they, like I say, they've got very good players, which they'll struggle to keep next year. But yeah, they've got match winners. They've got two or three. So
yeah, they got a really good squad, mate. They got look at their strongest 11, it's very good.
I know.
I just think every team has a dip, and unfortunately their dip has come at a time where they were already sort of in the bottom half of the league, and you could see a different manager getting more out of those players for whatever reason. I said something similar just now about Cardiff City. So I had someone was saying to me that, oh, with no manager could get anything out of this squad. And I said, no, a different manager with different tactics would get more creatively out of that squad. And I think if you look at Palace's team, it's clearly full of young, vibrant, exciting talent. And say a young attacking manager would likely get more out of it. It's just, that's not a dig at Roy Hodgson. It's just a fact. Different managers, different tactics, get more out of certain players. It's just the way it is. And I don't know. That's one that I think I'll watch. Because you wouldn't be surprised if they get their managerial... If Roy Hodgson was to leave and then they got a different manager in, if it was the right manager and they kept most of their players...
You think that Vieira was the right manager? They pressed the panic button early on, didn't they?
Yeah, I thought Vieira started well, didn't he? And he looked like he had a plan and attacked.
A little bit of panic buttons. We need to stay up. Get rid of
him. Yeah. Right. Before we talk about United, mate, I want to discuss some of the Champions League stuff from this week, just because there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. First and foremost, Kylian Mbappe announces that he's leaving PSG. I don't think that's a massive surprise that he was going to leave in the summer. Is there any chance he goes anywhere except Real Madrid in your eyes?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think any
club in the Premier League... Finish his junior play there in the left. Yeah. Oh, you know, it's Real Madrid. They'll just adapt. If we go on the right, he's gone on Madrid.
He could also play through the middle as well, can't he? Like, yes, they might see him as a replacement for Benzema.
With it down to him, it's his choice. Unless, you know, someone like a Manchester United comes in with a big, massive offer, but still couldn't see it. The law of Real Madrid to these foreign players is greater than probably playing for Manchester United.
Like, there is one aspect of it which I think maybe him and some others could be tempted with United is where some of the moves United are making off the pitch. The next 10 years could be quite exciting if you're a young player or whatever.
And you can make him the marquee player.
Yeah, I could see the attraction to it. However, one of the things by having that structure above the manager now and bringing in these types of people that they are, I think it's very unlikely that United are going to pay Mbappe 500 grand a week and a massive signing on fee.
Yeah. First of all, we've got Garnacho and Rashford there in that position. So, yeah, it's just something that we don't need. Dan Ashworth comes in, and he's good as he says, he's not going to buy a player that we don't need.
Yeah. So, the thing is, mate, unless they would get rid of Rashford, that's the only way I could see Mbappe going to United is if Rashford leaves, because then they'll want a marquee signing to take the distraction away.
If it's sold Rashford, then all bets are off, but I don't see that happening because I don't see him back in United.
And the thing is, if he was being sold by PSG, you could see maybe a swap deal with some money and something like because PSG like Rashford, but
it's his choice. So
yeah, because he's going on free. I just don't see how he goes anywhere but Madrid. I saw there was a big thing on Twitter today, like Arsenal fans saying where they're going to get him and he's the final piece in the puzzle. I was like, mate, seriously, right? If Mbappe came to the Premier League, there's at least three clubs he goes to before Arsenal, surely. In United, Liverpool, well, actually four. United, Liverpool and Man City because of who they are in differing reasons. And then you also have the Todd Bowley aspect of Chelsea, who's not afraid to chuck a ridiculous amount of money at players if he wants them. I think all four of those teams.
And you've got Newcastle, who's got a few quid. You can pay the wages, but can't pay the fee. So they can pay him a ridiculous amount.
So would you put. I think he'd go to Arsenal before he goes.
He would go to Arsenal rather than Newcastle. But if Newcastle saying here's £1 million a week, could you do that?
I accept that
because I don't, as long as they can't buy players with FFP. So
I'm sure there's ways around.
People know what I live in Newcastle. When you look at Newcastle, and you look at London, it's no secret. It's the capital or the northeast, and the capital's more appetizing to these foreigners and their families.
But I just think Chelsea, both from a historic, if you like, where more recent history. So what the way if you try and get into the mind of what is it, what's Mbappe, 24, 25, something? Like, he's going to look at it. Chelsea have won Champions Leagues and league titles recently, and they can pay him a wedge load of money. The United thing we've already talked about. Man City just won a treble constantly in the title race, in the Champions last stages of the Champions League, and they could pay his wages. Arsenal haven't really won anything. All right, don't get me wrong, they might be in a title race this year. They've got a good manager and a good young team, but I'm not sure that's what he wants at the age he's at and leaving Madrid, leaving PSG on free. Do you see what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's other clubs I see in the Premier League that I think he would go to before Arsenal, but good for the Arsenal fans. Get excited. He hasn't got an agreement with Madrid, though. Apparently, I just was going to say, but Reece has just said in the comments, he's not happy with Madrid's offer because apparently his wage demands are so ridiculous that even Madrid are not willing to.
This is what I mean. This is what I mean, where a Premier League club will be willing to pay for it. And Real Madrid, because it's Real Madrid, it'll be a bit, cocky or confident that they could get in with a low ball price instead of a high ball price. So,
I'm assuming there's a way, I'm assuming that there's something in place to stop teams going, oh, we'll pay you 100 grand a week, that's your wage, but then in another way, paying him, the rest sort of thing via a sponsorship deal or, whatever it may be. There must be something in place to stop that. Because otherwise, your United, your Chelsea's, City, whoever, Madrid, Barcelona, they'd all abuse that, wouldn't they? They on your books, it would say you're paying him 100 grand a week, but Barcelona, Incorporated, would be paying him a sponsorship deal of £1 million a week. But you see what I mean? There must be something in place to stop that sort of thing.
I'm sure there is, but I'm sure that still goes on.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, how many charges? 120-odd charges, or is it? That's something.
15.
I saw on that, just on the Chargers thing, I saw a really interesting video with Phil Jagielka was on Talk Sport this week, and they were asking him about Everton. There's rumours that Everton are going to get another point deduction Now, I think that is unreal that they could have one and then have another one in the same season. Like, it just, that doesn't seem fair or doesn't seem right. And Phil Jagielka basically...
No, that to me just stinks of a lawsuit. It just stinks of that thing. Yeah.
Well, in fairness to Phil Jagielka, he said the EFL did it to Derby and it seems like the Premier League are doing it to Everton, like they want them to get relegated.
Now, well, I was listening to it at the time. I was in my car and I was listening to it.
And I just think, surely they can't have two deductions in the same season. Just doesn't seem, even from a sporting point of view, all right, if you've done it once, fine. But then surely it would be the next season, wouldn't it?
It's just wrong. Just wrong. But we'll wait.
Especially
and see.
When you've got Man City sat with 100 plus charges, seemingly, you know, just playing week in, no pressure, nothing. It's a strange one, isn't it? You've got Forest and Everton fighting to not have points deducted and punishment.
Well, they can take it to court and just and do what City are doing. So
yeah, City just seem to be have tied it up to a point where
So they can do that. So it doesn't come into this season. Everton admitted it and went through everything the right way. Where this one they'll appeal it or whatever they need to do, and it won't come out this. I don't see it coming out this year, mate.
Yeah, so it's a weird one. Right, on the Champions League, mate. Did you catch much of it this year? Did you catch much of a Champions League this week?
I watched a bit of Munich last night, and I watched a bit of City.
Kylian Mbappe, just look at it, has scored 19 goals in his last 15 matches. Now, don't get me wrong, that is sensational. But like, how many of them are in the French league? I find it very difficult when I see these stats of these players doing it in the French league, because
he will still score a lot of goals. The way the Premier League's played, the way the game's played at the time. But will he get that many? I very much doubt it. But you know, Haaland did when he first came in. His record was astonishing. So he could do. It's not impossible.
Yeah, there's players who've done it in the Premier League, like had that ridiculous, like Salah, Ronaldo, Haaland. You know, there's been these kind of players who buck the trend and go on these incredible streaks and have these incredible records.
I remember Ruud van Nistelrooy scoring like 10, 11 goals straight.
Yeah. Quite surprised that Hoyland is the first, I can't remember what it was, first under 20 or something to score 5 in 5 games since Nicolas Anelka. I was really surprised to hear that. When you think of all the strikers who've come by, but obviously you forget how young he is, like, you know?
Yeah.
I loved, right? Like, I see a lot of people say, oh, he scored 5 in 5, but what about the rest of the season? Well, he's top scorer in the Champions League still, isn't he? Or certainly the top scorer in the group stage. Like, he scored, I think, 11 goals this season. So what are we in? Mid-February, and he's got 11 goals in all competitions. I think for a 20-year-old who's coming into a side which is very disjointed and not at his peak, I think that's pretty good, I got to say. Regardless of his price, I think 11 goals in all competition. And he's got quite a few assists as well. I think that's a good start, me. But you're a United fan. You tell me, do you think that's... Could you have expected any more from him? From Hoyland? He scored 11 goals in all competitions.
He had a rocky start. He's had not a lot to play with, not a lot of assists, not a lot of balls into him that he can work with. So he's had a rocky start, but his movement's been good, his work rate's been good, he's still been getting in the right areas, and now his hard work seems to be paying off. You know, them little nicks, them little goals that are the scuff, so you know, they're going in for him or being in the right position, a little header. You know, it's not by accident that these centre forwards are in these places when the ball bounces there. So no, it's good for him, but just you know, he's gonna have another dip, he's still young, you know, he's going to be a very good player because he does all the right things. He's got power, pace, You just need to give him time because, you know, he will have another dip. But he's a goal scorer. It's life a goal scorer. If you don't score in 2-3 games, fucking world's ending.
Rushes on, isn't it? Yeah. Like, what's interesting with him is if you go into his goal stats and all that, even is those 11 goals, not many of them have been created by teammates. There's a lot of them that he's created himself. The one against, what was the one which he smashed in recently? Was it Villa? I forget. Where he takes.
That's why I was saying you've got to adapt.
It may that be one a, against Galatasaray when he ran from the halfway line and
things. Well, it's got a few in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, I'm not sure if he is now, but for a long time, like, for most of the thing, he's been top scorer in the Champions League. Like, yes, he didn't score in the league, but I think 11 goals mid-February, he's got, I think, about 5 assists as well. I think that's pretty good. That's 16 goal contributions in not even a full season. In his first season, age 20, I think that's in a side that's not doing, certainly not consistent, I think you could say.
No, like I say, he's young. He's only going to get better as well. So
yeah. I think he looks a player, mate. I've got to say. I think he looks like someone who's got a potential to go and be United's Van Nistelrooy under this new regime. Talk to me, right, about the off-the-field appointments. So you've got United have approached Newcastle sporting director Dan Ashworth about joining the club. They've also approached Jason Wilcox, former Blackburn winger, who also has been behind Man City's academy over the last several years, including players like Cole Palmer and such coming through. They obviously appointed Berada as their CEO. You've got Dave Brailsford, Jean-Claude Blanc taking seats on the board. As a United fan, they've also been linked with that the guy from Brighton, the head scout. I've forgotten his name. Someone Jewel. But as a United fan, when you see all those appointments and incoming or being linked with, like, is that as exciting as being maybe linked with an Mbappe? Like, which one do you rather? Would you rather have Mbappe in the summer or all those names I've just mentioned being in the structure of the football club?
No, I'm a big NFL fan, and the Kansas City Chiefs have kept their staff for 3 or 4 years now all together. Defensive coordinator, quarterback coach, head coach, quarterback, tight end. And they've all seemed to have stayed together. So you need that core of people who are very, very good at the job. Dan Ashworth is very good at his job. Jason Wilcox. When I took manager of Salford, Jason Wilcox was coach. He used to coach back on. Used to have half a pitch of the pitch. Jason Wilcox would be on one side of the pitch. I can't remember who was coaching, but this would have been 2010, 2011. So we started from the bottom, and then obviously gets the job at City, and now look, what are we, 13, 14 years on, and now he's going to be under United. So he's done the hard graft, but, you know, done it the right way and got the good young players from around Manchester and made them into good players, great players, some of them. So, yeah, no, I'd rather have what's happening now than just an Mbappe signing, because this is the right pieces that need to be put in place instead of an Ed Woodward, who's a money guy, doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Another of these, Richard, whatever his name was caught in a pub talking to fans.
Richard Arnold.
So these people are really clowns, really, and not really good at the job. So these people are renowned quality people in their profession, and it can only bode well for United. And so they're putting the right pieces in place. And now we've got people who know what they're doing in the right places. So it can only be... could be good for Manchester United fans, but everything that's going on now is going in the right direction. You can't run before you can walk. So it's not going to be overnight, but you can see now that they're putting the right pieces into place.
Yeah, there seems to be a plan there, and I think one of the things that we've talked about continuously is the off the field structure. There's nothing like above Ten Hag. You had like Darren Fletcher, which, with all the greatest of respect to him, great footballer, but he didn't seem to have the qualifications or the contacts to do the job that he was seemingly doing. Like, he seemed to be the football guy amongst all these money guys. And I, like, you look at like the likes of the sort of people which they're being linked with for these types of job, Dan Ashworth and Paul Mitchell and Dougie Friedman, Jason Wilcox. Like, these are top level people in those types of jobs for the last 10 years or so. Whereas Darren Fletcher didn't seem to have that same, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but do you see what I mean? Like, with all the greatest respect to him, I'm sure he was doing the best job he could possibly do. But there seemed like United back in the day when I was a kid, they had the best of everything. They had the best training ground, the best stadium, the best manager, the best players, the best, and everything above was the best. So everything off the field was always the best.
But a very good manager was spearheading all that. And the great thing about Sir Alex Ferguson, he always evolved with the times. And obviously, yes, when he left, they stopped evolving. They just tried to put square pegs in round holes, and it just wasn't working. And they just continued to do that because people don't know what they're doing at the club. Now, like I say, it seems things going in the right direction. So it could happen in any place. It could happen at work. My work, well, I work. You know, when I started, it was a struggle. But now you got the right piece in the place. You know, the boss is a bit of a dick, but apart from that, it's all right.
What, like, in terms of it, the impact is, as a United fan, like, how instant do you think this structural change? So, I mean, let's assume that by the summer, they're all going to be in place. That's all going to be ready and to kickstart and go. Like, how instant do you think the impact can be on the field?
Well, you have to be at the right piece in the place, get the right players into place. And now we're getting all the right players back in. You see the results. It took us, what, three and a quarter season to find out, right, this is our three, Højlund, Garnacho and Rashford. Now, Garnacho on the right, Rashford on the left, Højlund. Midfield, Manu, Casemiro, Fernandes. That works. Because Casemiro gets isolated, but Manu seems to, but even though he's inexperienced, there were some gaps, and we've seen that in Villa, where they were getting behind them two and getting in, like, in between the centre halves, and they would have to fix that because that shouldn't really happen if there's two there. But
I'll ask you about that in a minute. But go on, carry on.
But no, and then the back four, you know, you've got Grace, Harry Maguire. He's been for a torrid time, and he's been brilliant for the last, but all season really. They wanted to sell him. He didn't want to go. He's dug his heels in. He's got his head down. He's probably been our best defender all season. So even though he's been out of late, you know, it's a big miss. We miss Luke Shaw when he's fit. So just getting the back four, it's very important. Dalot looks really getting better, quick. Now he's making goals, scoring goals. So that's important. So I think Dalot, Shaw, Martinez. And we just need to sort that. But it looks like Maguire's trying to nail that down. And we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm sure another one will come in because I don't think Varane's the answer. I don't think Lindelof's the answer. So, but like I say, it's just getting them pieces bit by bit. See in the summer. See what their moves are in the summer. What kind of players they were going for. What kind of money's on offer. So, yeah, it's like I say, they've got the right pieces in place. People have been in, like Dan Ashworth, oh, they've identified good players for Newcastle. So now he's in a better position because he's at Manchester United, which is a more appealing place. And that's no disrespect to Newcastle, but it's just a fact.
So what I find fascinating with it, or like the tactical side of it, I like looking into that. So, you know, with that, with the Villa game, you had either the winger or the forwards were, one of the forwards was dropping in behind Casemiro and Mainoo. Obviously, Mainoo and Casemiro are dealing with the number 10 and the midfielders in front of them. And then the strikers would dropping in that gap between midfield and defence. I would have, when I was looking at it afterwards, I was thinking like Maguire or Varane, one of them has got to go with that player because they can get tight to him without exposing, you know, a big gap and stuff like that. Like you, but you've obviously done, you know, you doing your coaching badges and you've done coaching and managing before. Like, is that right? Would you say that in that situation, assuming it's not the number 10 who's drifting into the space, because it was more one of the wide players or the central striker who was going into that space behind Casemiro and Minamino.
It's just very good coaching, mate. It's just very good coaching, but you've got either one of the centre midfielders got to pick up or Dalot's got to tuck in and pick it up. And then it's just the balancing act, who's closer at the time. But Bailey, it wasn't Bailey, it was Ramsey. Ramsey's very clever in doing it. So it's difficult. These are top-notch players, mate. And when they ghost into these positions, it's a split second, they get a ball, boom, they're in on the back four, especially on Maguire, who's not the paciest. So, well, they got away with it, really, against Villa, because he got in some great positions. And a bit of that better quality, you know, he would have scored a lot more goals, but it's something they can identify, it's something they can work on, and they'll just get better at it.
Good manager as well, Villa have got. What was quite interesting...
I'm saying is they're not talking about any scrubs here. These are top-notch coaches, and that Ramsey's a decent player, decent young player, pacey, quick. So when he goes into them plays and into them holes, it's very, very difficult.
Do you know what I found, watching it, what was quite interesting, is that in the second half, Garnacho started to do the same thing, but in an attacking sense. So he was drifting off the right, and he was ending up behind Hoyland or even behind Rashford at certain points on the left, and Villa couldn't cope with it at all. Garnacho ended up getting in a couple of times off the left before Rashford went off. And it was quite interesting to see United use the same tactic against Villa, almost like a attack is the best form of defence type thing. But it was kind of interesting to see
better players, why not? They've got better players. They look more solid at the back with the defence, the players they've got back. So why not? And it's our strength. Our strength isn't defending, you know. It's going forward and scoring goals, and we've not scored enough of this season. It's been pitiful, to be honest. It's been pathetic for United football team. It's the lowest I've ever seen when I've been alive. I've watched some
They seem to all be finding a bit of form, though, at the same time, to strike
it. We're still minus goals or something. We're in what? 20
or
30?
No, they're not in 19.
All right, plus three. Great.
Yeah. I take your point 100%, mate. It's strange. It's not something you associate with them.
It's not a billion quid like Chelsea. It's just the player, these quality of players should be doing more. But you give him that leeway because last year he done very well, and this year it's been rocky with the players have been injured, and the players that something he's been brought in, the Antonys, the Mason Mounts. It's a big money. So that's where the pressure comes in. Well, you know, you've done well there, but there's 150 million that's not done nothing. What's going on here? You've got Mason Mount, you know, he's just a made of quavers, and you've got the show pony from Brazil who just takes people on, runs back, and you just know he's going to cut in on his left. He gets boring, can't even hit the target. So he didn't score goals. So he's come in, started very, very well, but you know, stick him on the left. I think he'd be a good wing on the left. Get because he obviously not too confident on his right, and it's just frustrating. You know, I know my wing is at Manchester United, and he's got the potential to be that, but yeah, not for 90 million quid. Ajax.
He's got the skill. Be a great traditional winger, hasn't he?
Got pace, you know, he works hard, he's got a trick, skillful. He can probably whip a good ball in, but you don't see it. You just know what he's going to do. Yeah, if I know what he's going to do, and they know what he's going to do. It's easy to defend. 100%. Easy to defend.
Easy. And because he just gets so congested in the middle.
He'll get a goal where he'll whip it into the top corner every 20 games. Great. Mm-mm. Need more than that if you play for Manchester United, mate. Especially with 90 million quid.
Yeah, no, it's hard not to disagree. I think United's biggest problem this year has obviously been the injuries. They look a different side when Luke Shaw goes off, when Martinez is not in there, because they progress the ball so well, you know, through midfield.
You look at Tottenham, they've had injuries.
Yeah.
Other teams have had injuries. They just come in and skip a beat. These players, they're not good enough. So this is what I'm saying. Some of these players that are still there, Lindelof, Wan-Bissaka, Martial, they need to get rid of all of the dead wood and just, you know, start again. You've probably got two or three that you keep within that shit lot that have been a shit few years. Rashford, Luke Shaw, and who else? I don't know.
I would never get rid of Luke Shaw. If I'm United, I would not get rid
of him. It's a worry when he's getting injured now, because, you know, if you don't look after
this
yourself,
season, he's had injuries.
He does look overweight. Yes, he's a fit boy, but he does look overweight. And when you're carrying that weight, and once you get a little bit older, you'll pick up a little bit of these niggly injuries. So, you know, we all like a McDonald's now and again. It can't be every day, Luke. Just kill your jets.
Do you know, the reason why I don't think they'll get rid of him, one, he's been there 10 years. Two, I think he's probably their best, like one of their best players. And he influences the team massively. But the other reason is United have a left back called Harry Amass, I think his name is, playing in the under-23s, who've played 16, won 16 in the league this year. They're like going to break records and stuff. He is 16 years old. And by all accounts, I watched some highlights of it. Oh, I actually watched the extended highlights of a couple of his games for the under-18s or 21s or whatever. And I tell you what, mate, he is, doesn't look 16, I tell you that much, but he looks like he could be a player. And there was a few rumours that if Luke Shaw is injured now, that he might come in on the left rather than flipping Dalot over and, you know, whatever they could normally do to move it about. Like, he might get his chance as a 16-year-old kid to stake a claim. And that's how it happens, mate. Very rarely do you see a 16-year-old, probably Rooney is the only one which I can think of, who at 16, 17... forced his way into the first team on performance and ability. Most of the time, it comes from a senior player getting injured, the backup is injured or suspended, and then suddenly you throw a kid in, he does well. Look at Mainoo. He probably wouldn't have played as much as he did this year if it wasn't for the injuries to Casemiro and, you know, these different players at the time.
And this is what they'll tap into first. If you go back in history, this is what, Alex Ferguson, Brian Kidd, when they got there, let's see what youth there is first. Let's see if we can work with, because, our best players in a minute are Manu, Garnacho, Rashford, they're all players that we've, and there is some very, very, very good players coming through, very good players that will be in the first team in 2 or 3 years. I could name at least three that will be left back included that you just said there. But there's two that one reminds me of very much like Phil Foden, Scouser, Lacey, and there's a Fletcher. He's a Fletcher.
Yeah, Jack Fletcher's one of Darren Fletcher's kids. Well, actually, both of them, innit? But one of them, particularly Jack.
One of them is very, very good, yeah. They play for the under-18s. They've not been beat, even though they've been knocked out of the FA Youth Cup. They're very, very good. So that's where they tap into first. And then, see, obviously, Ashwood would have identified players that he wanted to bring to Newcastle. It's just an easier thing now he's with Manchester.
And I mean, the other thing with Ten Hag is the one thing, whatever you think of him as a man, if you think he's the right man for United, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's not afraid to play young players. Like, he's shown that already. You know, Mainoo's good enough, so he plays every week. He's probably the first name on the team sheet, to be honest. So, you know, if Shaw's injured again, maybe, and he doesn't want to move Dalot off the right because of his delivery, then Harry Amass at 16 might get his chance, and then it's whether he takes it then, and it's whether he can put together a couple of performances at that young age, because it's a lot, mate. 16 is so young, So young.
It is, but no, these people have got the mentality and the good people around them to know that they'll be fine. So, it's not rushing them, but getting them in the mix, and then you'll probably see them in the next year or two. But you know, work around that, and then obviously the quality and experience of the other players, and obviously the players they're bringing in the future.
And they'll all, you know, they'll know people like Garnacho and Mainoo will be, you know, they'll be very friendly with them because they're similar age. You know, they played in the same team last year.
Exactly.
There's a lad in the United system, a left winger. He's 15. What's his name? Amir Igbramov or something like that.
And there's a few coming through, mate. Recently.
He's 15. He's from Dagestan, mate, right? And if you watch him, like watch clips of him on YouTube, he looks like a player. Reminds me the way he runs of your brother, like just the way he runs, I mean. But his brother is an MMA fighter who's tipped to go, you know what the Dagestanis are like for MMA? They're like, there's just a wave of them coming through at the top level. But him and his brother I believe there's three of them. Two of them are footballers and one of them's a fighter, and they're all tipped to go to the top.
There's not many players that have in history that have been regular players at the age of 17 who are playing week in, week out against men. You can name them on one hand. So it's not easy. And that's through the fact that my probably James Milner as well. So there's probably four.
That's why Rooney and James Milner's records as youngest players, like playing at 16 in the Premier League and scoring, and that's why they still stand now, 20 odd years later.
I mean, it's probably our kid, Wayne Rooney, James Milner, and Raheem Sterling. They're the only ones that I can think of that are playing week in, week out at 17 for the club. So, and these are playing against men, so it's not easy. It's not easy to break in at a young age. So I know Garnacho come in and out, but he wasn't a...
No. Harvey Elliott played at Fulham before he went to Liverpool, age 16. But that might have been in the Championship as well, I'm thinking about it. There was a lad who played for West Brom.
I'm sure there is others, but they're the ones that I could think of at the top of my head.
Yeah.
That, you know, were playing weekend. Because remember, Aki played, he broke it in when he was 17, and then he played a full season like he was is 17, and he was obviously 18 in November, but he was Wayne Rooney, obviously 16, James Milner 16, and Ryan Sterling was 17. So,
I just pulled up a list of the top 20 youngest Premier League players, right? And you know, there's a couple, like there's a lad who played for Arsenal at 15, but I've never heard of him since. Harvey Elliott obviously played for Fulham, went on to play for Liverpool. And then you've got like Matthew Briggs, Izzy Brown, Aaron Lennon played. At
what I'm saying, mate, Harvey Elliott isn't a first name on the sheet. These players were.
Yeah, Jack Wilshere, I think, Jack for Wilshere. A period.
Yeah, Jack Wilshere.
Yeah. James Vaughan at Everton as well. I would say he was one of the first names on his team sheet. But then after that, a lot of these players who made their debuts at 15, 16, they actually didn't go on and play at the top level. Like there's
it's a very small number.
Of course, mate, yeah. And of course, the one we're forgetting outside of the Premier League is Odegaard. Obviously, he was playing age 15, wasn't he? And which is, I think, you know, is mental. Like my youngest son is 15 now. 15. That's a thing. And like,
depends how you're built as well, I suppose. Some kids grow when they're 17, 18, and, you know, some kids are like grown at 15.
And so, do you know what the other thing I think, mate, as well, is when you're like that between 14 and 18, if you start doing like gym work and playing football several times a week, and your body automatically becomes like bigger and stronger, and because your body reacts quicker, doesn't it? Just like if you do nothing and just eat at that age and sit around playing on the Xbox, you get chubby real quick as well. Like, do you see what I mean? Like your metabolism is so fast. Right, I'm going to get up to super sick stuff, mate. Well, yeah, I don't know. Ramsey was playing for Cardiff at 16 and then obviously went on and played for Arsenal.
Yeah, we're not talking second-rate football. We're talking...
Well, maybe he went on and played for Juventus and Arsenal, so... Can't really say second-rate, can you? Sorry.
At the time, when he was 16, he wasn't playing for Juventus or Arsenal. He was playing for the Championship, Cardiff.
Also, you have, like...
Megan Swiftly
what's
on.
His face?
Who?
Neil Walcott.
Yeah.
With England, 16, wasn't he? I know they didn't use him.
Yeah, on the bench. Yeah, Phil, get us them waters. That's all he did for that World Cup. Didn't play 1 minute. Yeah, get us them waters. Yeah, hit that kit up. That's all he did. That was a good experience. Yeah, Phil, get us lunch.
And the thing is, mate, when you got into the depths of that tournament, I remember thinking, like, you may as well chuck him on. They needed a goal or something, and they had not much on the bench. And it's like, either chuck him on, or you may as well have taken someone else.
Just overrated. It was quick. That was it. Just open the game. Fast, just too fast. His brain couldn't compute to how fast he was. So, yeah.
I just wanted to make mention of this before we do the predictions very quickly. I don't want to go into it in detail, simply because I don't know the story that well, but someone mentioned it in the comments earlier on Piers Morgan's Uncensored show this week. They had former Lincoln City footballer Jack Diamond, who spoke for the first time.
I watched it this week.
He was cleared of rape. The jury took 7 minutes to acquit him. He obviously went through 2 years of hell. He's now 24. I think he plays for Sunderland, doesn't he? But luckily for him, Sunderland, I think, backed him, or certainly they didn't sack him while he was... Well, he went to court, didn't he? And he got charged and stuff. A lot of clubs, maybe...
But charged and charged.
Yeah. And charged and guilty is different. Yeah.
But this is what I mean. He's charged, he's found... It's innocent until proven guilty.
But this is why I think that victims and accused should both be kept anonymous in these cases until the verdict. Yeah, because, like, it doesn't matter, right? Even though he's been acquitted, like, with 7 minutes, the jury was, bang, not guilty. Even though it's not guilty as well, not that the case has fallen apart or no charges were brought or whatever, insignificant evidence, whatever it may be. He was found not guilty in a court of law, but that'll follow him everywhere he goes for the rest of his life. There'll be people who will be unsure of him and this, that, and the other. And I just think there's got to be a better way, not just footballers, just for people generally because if you get accused of that sort of stuff, it follows you around regardless of whether you get not guilty and you clear your name or not. So there's got to be a better way to deal with it. And look, hopefully he goes on and has a successful career now, because 24, he's young enough that he can still play. But after 2 years of not really playing, it's difficult, isn't it? Right. Let's do our predictions, mate.
What happened is it froze, yeah.
Yours video is frozen, but your audio's fine. So... We're just going to do the predictions, mate, anyway. It might catch up. No, I don't know what it's doing.
The predictions where I'm in the league. Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, come on. We'll see now. We'll see after this week, you know. See how many excuses you've got next week.
Yeah.
So first up, we've got Burnley at home to Arsenal. I have gone 3-1 to Arsenal.
Let me do it now. Arsenal, Burnley.
Burnley, Arsenal.
2-0.
2-0 to Burnley. That's a weird one. Well then.
2-0 to Arsenal. How's it 2? Yeah. Oh, was it a weird one?
Because your video's frozen, isn't it? So I've got to make sure that you got the prediction right. Spurs versus Wolves. I'll let you go first.
Well, you copy mine if I go first, though.
I've gone 3-2. I've already done mine.
I'll 3-1.
Fulham at home to Villa. I've gone 2-1 to Fulham. Villa played well against United, but they have lost three on the bounce at home now, and I think Fulham being in quite good
away from home now, and Fulham will have to come out, and Villa will get them on the break. 2-1 Villa.
And the video's back. Man City at home to Chelsea, big game. I've gone 3-1 to Man City. Me.
Two nil City.
Tell you who's on form is you mentioned him just now. What's his name? Oh, I can't remember his name. Foden. On fire at the moment.
Great.
Sheffield United at home to Brighton. I've gone Sheffield United.
He lost me 3 points, scored in the last minute. I had 2-1. 2-1 on my bet. He scored in the last minute.
Ruined it.
Yeah.
I got 2-1 to Brighton. I have against Sheffield United.
You had 2-1 Sheffield United?
2-1 Brighton.
One nil Brighton.
And then finally, you got Luton at home to Manchester United. United on a bit, haven't lost a game in this year, and have won 4 on the bounce. I've gone 3-0 United.
Yeah, Luton will score 3-1.
Luton are in decent form, actually. They've won 3 of the last
5. That's why I was going to go 2-1, but no.
I fancy United to score at the moment is the one difference.
Between especially away from home, Kenilworth Road. Have I told you a story about Kenilworth Road?
Which one?
So when we was younger, me, our kid, and my dad. Dad had some Pepped Out Fiesta Popular. Dog move. So he had some Pepped Out Fiesta Popular and was going to watch England schoolboys against, I think it was Brazil, at Wembley. So you had this blue Fiesta Popular. We're driving down there and then we're just getting into Wembley. We're on the motorway though. And it cuts out in the fast lane or the middle lane. So he's shaking. So he nearly crashed. HGV nearly wipes out. Get onto the hard shoulder anyway. It's overheated. Back in them days. You know, it's always overheating cars. So anyway, lets it cool down, drives to the game, watch the game, and then we're driving home. So it's about, it's getting late, you know, it's probably about 8-9 o'clock. So then we get into Luton and the car starts chuggering again. So he comes off at Luton and pulls up on the hard shoulder. Anyway, this taxi driver pulls over, says, "Oh, what's up?" So anyway, he says, this taxi driver says, his mate's got a garage. He's going to take us to somewhere now where we can stay tonight, and he'll take us to his mate's garage to go and get it fixed in the morning. Sweet. So he takes us to this house. There's no one living in there, but the house is overlooking Kenilworth Road. And in them days, it was the old 3G pictures. Remember the sand on the pictures, the old 3G? Not the 3G, it's called
Stop the Burns. AstroTurf.
Yeah. Hanging. When you play hockey on now. So it was then, anyway, he gets up in the morning, goes to the garage, the car's there, it's fixed. He says, "Oh, you just need to go and test run it." So he has a little test run. We're stood outside the garage, but just to the side. So my dad gets in the car, drives down the block, he pulls up just to the side. He's like, "Up to us," to me and our kid. I'm like, "What's he doing? Come here. So we get into the car, "Quick, get in. So we jump in, drive off. He says, "Why are you getting off there?" He says, "Oh, you know, he's told me I can't stop. If the engine stops, it might not get going again. So, you know, that's why I need to get in and drive so we can get home." Anyway, so at the start of this, like when we're leaving, he only had 15 quid. So in the morning, he says, "Well, how much did it cost?" He said, "Oh, I've got money for fuel and we can get some food." So how much did he'd not paid. He's selling us to go like that. Some geezers put him up overnight, right, fixed his car for him. And my dad's done one on him, not even paid him. Just rushing me and our kid in the car and just drive home. Got us fuel, got a nice scan on the service station. But yeah, they just done one. Done the kid right home.
Helping people.
That was my dad. What a funny character.
Oh, nightmare. I bet that guy was just like, fucking hell, man. Give him the roof.
Some Asian bloke. He was a proper nice bloke. Put him up in the house. Got his car fixed for him. Died of mine. He laughs about that story. He used to deny it, but now I'm not. Now he knows I tell that story. He tells it as your honor. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to I'm gonna have to get his version of that one now.
See he'll say the same version. His would be a little bit more kind on his though. So, I sent him in the post, sent him money in the post. Yeah, of course you did. That's what he used to say. Oh, I sent money in the post. All right, mate. I've been alive 40 odd years, you've never sent me money in the post, so I don't think you're sending him in the post. So, babe.
Oh, you got me then. UFC makes Friday, Saturday. Oban Elliott, the Welshman, makes his UFC debut. Won't be boring, I can tell you that much. It's going to be quality, mate. Can't wait.
Sweet.
There's a few fights though on Saturday.
See Big Chael Sonnen talking about Oban.
Yeah, then so when Oban was younger, like you're talking probably 5 years ago, maybe he had put like a post up and tagged Chael Sonnen, and Chael Sonnen replied.
They
like built a bit of a relationship and had some DMs go back and forth, and obviously because he's now fighting in America, it's a wicked story, though, isn't it? He idolizes.
When's he fighting weekend?
Yeah, Saturday.
Sweet.
His bout would burn on UFC 298. Massive card. Some wicked fights.
Yeah, tuning in. I'm off next week. So it's
afternoon for you a lot, is
up all night. Boo! Watching UFC, chilling. No one ever wants to go to one
day. Yeah, Volkanovski and Topuria.
Nice.
Robert Whittaker versus Paulo Costa. Ian Garry versus Jeff Neal.
I'm going to Cheltenham next week, though. A couple of days. Are you? So. Yeah.
God, there's some fights on that card. Mirab Dishvali versus Henry Cejudo. Ian Garry's fighting as well. And then obviously you've got all the prelims with Oban and, you know, there's some fights, man.
I'm going to jump in the bath.
Yeah, man. Right. Appreciate you, mate, as always. Good crack.
Keep your phone on because I can see another Super 6 spanking. So keep your phone free Saturday, yeah? In a bit, mother.
Sports Social Podcast Network.